Wonderful. I want to take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you in this meeting of the Select Committee on Public Enterprises and Communications. And as you know, that this meeting was scheduled and a notice of the meeting was issued in favor of the members as well as the departments that we expect to have today, which is the Department of Public Enterprises and the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development and Land Reform. Honorable members, the reason why the two departments are invited in this particular meeting, it's because we are going to be considering a briefing from Richfield's infrastructure to municipal standards and the establishment of the Community Property Association for the implementation of the deed of settlements. And therefore, Alexco is an entity that primarily reports, as I understand it, to the Department of Land Reform, Agriculture and Rural Development. And therefore, the expectation is that the briefing will be led by the Department of Land and Agriculture in this respect. But the Department of Public Enterprises will be expected perhaps to make an intervention as well in the process. I wish now to indicate to the members that the meeting is duly opened and that you are all welcome, honorable members, and we also welcome the delegation from the Department of Public Enterprises as well as the delegation from the Department of Land Reform and Agriculture. I must say that I did receive a written apology from Minister Togo Didiza, is the minister responsible for land reform and agriculture. We have also received another apology from Minister Pravin Gordhan, who is responsible for public enterprises members. We have also received the apology from one of the deputy ministers, but I think the officials will indicate because those apologies have not come through to my inbox yet. Meeting is open, members. Thank you for attending. I will allow for the officials to indicate some of the apologies. I believe we also have from the committee members apologies from four of our colleagues. Amanda, are you able to indicate to us the received written apologies?
I have three four apologies. An apology of Honorable Bibi, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Nana, as well as Honorable Lapista. Thank you, Chair.
I hope you are audible enough to the members. Those are the four apologies.
Couldn't hear the last one.
Can you just restate the last one?
The last one is that of Honorable Labuskagni.
Labuskagni is the fourth member who is not available. Can I ask the critical question, because I understand that in item number 2 of our agenda, we will be considering minutes of the previous meeting. Do we form quorum?
Yes, Chair.
We do. Okay. Honorable Tebogo Modisa says we do form the quorum. Members, I think let's consider now to begin with item number 1, which is the item that relates to the briefing that we are going to get from Alexco. This item is supposed to be led by the minister, but I think the minister has duly mandated a senior official of the department to lead us, if not a deputy minister. Can I take this opportunity to welcome the delegation from public enterprises as well as from the Department of Land Reform, Agriculture and Rural Development. You are all welcome. And the leader of delegation will take us through this presentation. But prior to that, we'll appreciate if you can just introduce your delegation so that we know who is accompanying the leader of the delegation in this respect. The same will apply with the other department. I now invite the Department of Land Reform, Agriculture and Rural Development to take the platform.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Mogidza Ramasudi. I am the DG for the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And let us appreciate the invitation that we have extended to the department to come and give a brief to the select committee on the developments around the Rechtersveld, specifically around the Community Property Association, and the work that the department has done in that space. As indicated, and the apologies of the principals, together with me today, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I've got the representatives of the department, but of specific importance in terms of this meeting and how land reform, especially restitution in this case, unfolds. I've got the commissioner who's responsible for the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights in the department, and Mayor Nomfudo Gobodo Ntoko, who's on the platform. I also have got the head who's responsible for the Northern Cape and is mainly responsible for the issues of coordination of all aspects of the department's work in that space, especially in the land reform space, Mr. Mwegetsi. In terms of this presentation that we'll take today, we will be taken through by Mr. Mwegetsi as the person who's responsible for that work. Mr. Mwegetsi has got his team that works with him, and as and when we take questions from the honorable members, we will introduce the other team members from there. It is quite important that we highlight that the issue around CPAs has received a lot of attention. There are engagements, and we would like to reiterate that CPAs are actually, in terms of this country, products of statutes. There's a way that they function, and there's the way that they the department intervenes when there are challenges within CPAs. And our intervention today would be able to point this honorable members to a few areas that we were concerned about, the 9 entities that are there within the Rechtersveld community, and how this have been assisted by the department, and the linkages that they all have with each other. This presentation would be led by Mr. Mwegetsi, as indicated, and with your indulgence, Chair, I would like to invite Mr. Mwegetsi to take the honorable members through the presentation that we have prepared. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning to honorable members of the Select Committee and colleagues. Chair, I hope I'm audible enough. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, DG has already introduced myself. My name is Khotso Mwegetsi. I am responsible for the work of the department in the Northern Cape province. I am going to take the committee through the briefing. Members will note that towards the end of last year, we came before the Honorable Committee and we made a presentation. So what I'm going to present here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is progress as the last time when we were here to present to the committee. Honorable Chair, I hope my presentation is, members can see it. Secretariat, please assist me. Sometime I will think that it is visible.
I say,
oh, no, no.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, we are here, you know, to present, you know, the status of the Rachtersfeld Communal Property Association, which was put under judicial administration on the around February of 2020, following the application to the Northern Cape High Court Division by the Director General, you know, to put this CPA under judicial administration. Members will recall that the last time when you're here, we were accompanied by the administrator, but unfortunately he's not available as he's attending other matters. So without any waste of time, Honorable Chair and members, this is what we are going to talk about today, the outline as reflected there. And Chair, through your indulgence, I'm not going to read this, the 27 slides, but I'll rather speak to them. So this is what we are going to talk to. I think the DG has highlighted that the main issue is around those complicated entities established, as well as, you know, progress as it relates to the judicial administration. And then this is the purpose, Chair. We are here to brief the committee on public enterprises and communication, you know, regarding the status of the CPA. By way of background and context, Chair, just to, you know, share with the members, Rachtersfeld, you know, community, through the assistance of Mr. Smith, they filed a land claim around 1998 in terms of the Restitution of Rights Act. And then there was a protracted court proceedings, and then at the end, the Constitutional Court awarded the land and mineral rights to the community of Rachtersfeld. And in this whole process, Chair, Honorable Chair and members, the Department of Public Enterprises, which is the lead, you know, in this process, as you have correctly pointed out, and the then Department of Land Affairs, which is now Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, they represented government in settlement negotiations. And then, Chair, around the 22 of April of 2007, there was a deed of settlement which was signed between the community of Rachtersfeld, the government as represented by the two departments, and Alexco. You know, that process was concluded on the 9th of October 2007. So this deed of settlement, Honorable Chair and members, was made an order of court. And in this context, Chair, I think in terms of issues relating to the deed of settlement, I will talk briefly, you know, to it. But the Commission on the Northern Cape Regional Land Claims Commission, as well as, you know, public enterprise, they are also involved in this process. We are not the only partners. As I indicated, Honorable Chair, this CPA, you know, was put under judicial administration on the 28th of February through a court order, you know, granted by the Northern High Court. The case number is reflected there. The reason for the DG approach.
Can you make sure that your slides are moving? Because it seems to us that you are stuck on the first slide, and I think you are already in slide 4 or 5.
Oh, my apologies, Chair. From my side, okay, let me. Can you see the one? I'm still on background, Chair. The first bullet point that talks to deed of settlement, that's where I am.
Do you see that, members? I don't see it. I see only slide number one.
Yes, no, Chairperson, it's not moving.
Chair, I am ICT challenged. Can I then? I know I've been made, you know, what to call the secretariat assisted me to share from my side. Can I request them to intervene so that I don't delay, Chair? I can share this one and then maybe through the secretariat, then they assist me. Otherwise, I'm going to delay because from my side, slides are moving, but yeah. Secretariat, please, can you assist me quickly? I'm going to stop sharing this one and then allow you to.
Okay. In the meantime, you can talk through. Please, Amanda, can you quickly assist us with that so that we don't delay the work of the committee.
Okay, Chair. Can I proceed, Chair? Oh, yes. Can you go to slide number 5? Yes, this one. I hope members can now see. No. I've already spoken to this. Can you go to the next one? Apologies for that. Okay, then. So, Chairperson and members, after that court order, which agreed with the DG that this CPA must be put under judicial administration. Then the DG also followed a due process where honey attorneys, were appointed as judicial administrators. So this firm of attorneys, are then appointed, Advocate Don Majid to assist the department, administering the affairs of the CPA. And this administration is for a period of 3 years, which started around February 2020, and then it will come to an end next year, February. So in terms of the court order, Honorable Chair, the judicial administrator is required to exercise powers of the executive committee of the Richtersveld CPA and perform all functions assigned to him. So because of the dynamics within that CPA, there were conflicts, members were litigating against each other, all of those, challenges. And then the CP was put under administration. So the judicial administrator is expected, to exercise those powers, as envisaged in the Communal Property Association Act, So what he has done so far, Chair, and the following slides will indicate, he met everybody within the Richtersveld, community, and a work plan in line with the court order was developed and confirmed and has been approved. This was part of the court order. Next slide, please. Yes. So, Chairperson, in order to protect the interests of this community, the deed of settlement that I alluded to, it sought to create a very comprehensive yet complex structure of trust. You'll see, Chair, the slides that are coming, how this, what we call structures, we say they are complex, So I'm just going to give what we call update, as regards to the status of those 8 entities which were established under the CPA. So all in all, we are talking about 9 structures, including the CPA. The next slide, please. Yes. Chairperson, this is high level, depiction of how the entities, have been established as a result of the land claims of Richtersveld. At the top there, you can see is the Richtersveld CPA, which has been established. It's just that now we are busy regularizing it, since it was put under judicial administration. Then we have 2 trusts just below the desk. It's the Richtersveld Community Trust and the Richtersveld Investment Trust, and then all the others as reflected here. The following slides, will give details of the status of each, structure. But what we want to point out here, Chairperson, is that the Richtersveld Agricultural Holding, it has been liquidated. And then the other one, which is Alex for PSJ, of which my colleagues from public enterprises, are qualified to talk to it. But I'll just give the update on the status of, around members or directors who are supposed to be serving on the structures. Next slide, please. Yes. So the department chairperson, in terms of execution of the court order, remember last time when we were before the committee, we said the elections of the executive committee are going to take place. And we are pleased to report that, Honorable Chair, that around November last year, following the appointment of the elections AJC by the department through the DG, the IFSA, you know, were appointed, you know, to assist with the election of the executive committee of the CPA. And these elections took place in November 2021, and early this year around January, there were by-elections. So the following slide then will show the current status of the entities. So we are happy to say currently the executive committee of the CPA, you know, is in place. The first entity that I wish to refer to is the Richterswald Communal Property Association. I've already spoken to this. We have about 15 members. Remember, this is still under judicial administration. Eight has been elected. The members must concentrate on the 15. This 15 is constituted by the eight which have been elected through the communities working with the administrator. There are two from the local municipality and two at the discretion of the CPA itself, and one from the department. What is outstanding here, Chairperson? Because when you add those numbers, it's 13. There's an outstanding of two people, you know, need to be to be co-opted or appointed by the CPA, you know, to address issues of gender and issues of disabilities. So the CPA is in the process of finalizing these two appointments. The biggest challenge here, Chairperson, as I said last time, you know, CPAs by their very nature, they are conflict-ridden. Already there is a group within Richtersveld which is not happy with the election of the chair and the deputy chair. Furthermore, Chairperson, some members, beneficiaries, are not happy, you know, with the nomination of politicians. Politicians in this case is the councillors, because what the municipality of the Richtersveld local municipality has done was to nominate two councillors. So members are not happy that councillors are serving on the CPA structure. So we just want members, you know, to take note of that. The next slide, please. The Richtersveld Community Trust, the composition here is seven trustees. To date, all, you know, people, the directors who are supposed, you know, to serve on the Richtersveld Community Trust, you know, have been duly nominated, four from communities and three independent directors which have been nominated by the CPA. Remember, Chair, trust, you know, they are, you know, members of the trust or trustees are appointed by the Master of the High Court. So what is outstanding is the registration of these trustees by the Office of the Master of the High Court. The only challenge that we wish to highlight here is that the trust does not have personnel nor budget, you know, to deal with these issues. Next slide, please. Richtersveld Mining Company. Here we say that the composition is six directors. To date, only four members that are appointed by the community. So what is outstanding is the nomination of two independent directors by a company called Selfdeco, which is responsible, you know, for matters in, it's a development company within Richtersveld. So that is outstanding, Chairperson. And the other issue that we wish to bring, you know, to the attention, you know, of the committee is that which we regard as a challenge. The Richtersveld Mining Company is unable to nominate the board of the PSJ. It's a joint venture, you know. It is not fully constituted. So in the interim, you know, the court has appointed directors just, you know, to serve on this, you know, to assist with the operation of the PSJ so that operations are not disrupted. But this chairperson, you know, will be have to be resolved by court. And the court, I'm aware that it was sitting on the 3rd of this month. We have not received any update regarding the outcome of this matter. Next slide, please. The fourth structure is Richtersveld Environmental Rehabilitation Company. Here we are happy, Chair, to say that all the directors have been appointed. Next slide, please. The agricultural holdings. company. This is the one that I said, Chair, you know, it has been liquidated. There is a new company which has been established. It's called Richtersveld Growers. This is the one that is going to replace the liquidated one. To date, no one has been appointed to this new company. And then, but the feeling of the company, of the members is that instead of having six directors as initially envisaged, the committee is comfortable to have, you know, four community members, you know. That is the resolution of the members themselves. So, like I said earlier, there is a new group within Richtersveld. They call themselves Take Charge Nama United Richtersveld Company. This grouping, Honorable Chair, has submitted a petition to the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature, you know. Yes, they want to be the managers of all this farm. And according to the department, you know, this is a threat, you know, to the stability of the company and the CPA itself. Next slide, please. Can we move? Yes. The Richtersveld Property Holding Companies, the only challenge here, Chairperson, is that from the six directors who are supposed to be appointed, the committee has done its work through assistance of the judicial administrator. Four members have been appointed. Seldevco still to, you know, to nominate or appoint two independent directors. And then the challenge here, you know, this director is still to negotiate with Alexco regarding the transfer of, there is a 45 million story, Chairperson. So that 45 million story, which my colleagues from DPE, you know, are better place to talk to, it can only be disbursed once, you know, the structure is up and running. So I think I need to make this clear, Chairperson, in anticipation of a question regarding this 45 million story. And then the seventh one is the Richtersveld Self-Development Company. The composition here is 11 directors. To date, only four community members. You see the trend, Honorable Chair. The community, you know, has appointed everybody that's supposed to be appointed. And this is through the intervention of the judicial administrator. So again, here, you know, three independent directors must still be appointed, and also four persons to be nominated by each of the subsidiary companies. So the challenge is that this self-development company is not yet fully constituted. The next slide, please. Yes. Richtersveld Investment Trust, composition 9, to date only 7. Here, Chairperson, I need maybe to spend a minute or two just to explain why, you know, in the nomination of other two people are outstanding. It's from one, our Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, is supposed to appoint a person, and also one from the Minister of Finance. But here, Chairperson, we have been advised that the Minister of Finance has exercised his right not to participate further. So regarding our minister, the approval process, you know, has been set in motion, and very soon our minister, you know, will be given all the necessary documents to consider that recommendation. It will come through the DG to the minister. I think all in all, Chair, these are the structures, and now I want to deal with the progress regarding the court, as we were directed by court, issues to be attended to. Okay, this is the last one, Chair. My apologies for that. Okay. Chair, with regard to progress, all the KPA's objectives, you know, they have been taken directly from the court order. The court then said, you as a department, you came to us to say you want to put this CPA under administration. This is what you need to do. The first issue that the court directed us to do is the review of the deed of settlement. The responsibility there is the commission, but we have been, the commission does not have money, you know. I think they are not allowed to use the the funding, you know, to deal with post-settlement issues, because once the land is settled and then
everything, you know, comes to the department. But on this one, Chair, so what we are saying here is that, Chairperson, the commission is unable, you know, to appoint an attorney to review the deed of settlement. And this one is a matter that is still being debated. So I'm not going to waste time there. I'm aware that my colleague from the RLCC, you know, is accompanying the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. The second issue that we were directed to do as a department was to ensure that the membership register, remember, Chair, for a CPA to be compliant, one of the requirements is to make sure that a membership list or register is updated annually. So the court said to DG that to go back and make sure that the membership register of Richtersveld, you know, is corrected and updated. This must be in compliance with the CPA constitution as well as the CPA Act. So we are very pleased to inform the committee that for the fact that elections were held, the register was used, you know, for those elections, because a CPA cannot go to elections without an updated register. So this has been done by the administrator working with the community. So, of course, Chair, this thing, like which I say, is like must be done on an annual basis. So we have opened for comments. Of course, there will be other people, you know, who will be dissatisfied to say my name is not there, you know, but we do not experience serious challenges. So there is a period, you know, of comments from members, or even those who want to apply. There will be those who will say no. I want to be a member. I'm a beneficiary. I was excluded. So from the 27th of this month until of the next month, there will be a period, you know, which has been set aside for the applications to be considered as well as for comments. And then this will lead to the adoption of new members. And once that is done, the report will be presented to the AGM, which will consider everything, then a resolution will be taken. Next one, please. Next slide, please. Okay. The court also said DG must ensure that the administration of the CPA is conducted in an orderly, efficient, and accountable manner. Yeah, Chairperson, we are also pleased that the administrator, you know, has registered much progress. For an example, there is a person who has been assisting, you know, the CPA here. Ms. Anne-Marie DeVette has been retained as the secretary to provide the administration and secretarial support to the CPA. Let me clear this. Ms. Anne-Marie DeVette is not the secretary of the CPA. It's not the elected secretary. It's the appointed secretary, you know, to assist, you know, dealing with secretarial issues and as well as the administration of the CPA. The fund manager has been appointed. Like I said earlier, the Richtersveld Brewers, that company which has replaced the agricultural one, the liquidated one, you know, it plays the role of the fund manager. And then also the court directed the department to ensure that there is assets of the CPA, you know, there is some management of all those assets. We are pleased to inform the committee that an assessment was undertaken by the administrator, although the issue of movable assets is not yet completed, but there is much progress. At least he knows where are those. But as soon as everything has been accounted for, then that movable register, you know, will be submitted, you know, to the annual general meeting. Immovable assets have been determined and registered. So, like, we regard this as an ongoing process, Chairperson. So as soon as everything is done, then a proper report will be presented to the annual general meeting of the CPA. But for us, from our side as a department, we don't anticipate any challenges here. Next slide, please. Sound financial management. This is one of the issues that the court directed the department to do, because one of the issues that led to the CPA being put under judicial administrations, there were issues relating to maladministration, finances of the CPA, you know, all of those challenges. So in terms of progress, the CPA is a FNB bank account, and there was a serious challenge where the previous executive committee, you know, did not allow the administrator to have access to the bank account, because the administrator, you know, is like performing the work of the executive committee. So that has been stopped. That has been stopped. They no longer have access, you know, to the bank account. And then the DG is about to finalize the process, you know, of ensuring that the administrator has access to the bank account. Remember, Chair, I think I must explain this. The reason for the administrator having access to the bank account, when there are meetings and all other issues, he must use, you know, the funds of the CPA. So if he doesn't have access to that, he will not be able to execute, you know, the responsibilities, you know, in terms of the court order. But an accountant has been appointed to do the books. We are happy to inform the committee that for the financial years 16-17, 17-18, 18-19, 19-20, there is progress in terms of preparing, you know, financial statements. Because one of the requirements of a CPA that is compliant is to make sure that they submit audited financial statements. So this accountant is assisting the CPA, you know, to deal with that, because there's been a backlog of regarding the preparation of financial statement. There is also investigation, you know, which has been initiated by the special investigating unit relating to the finances. So we are unable, you know, to inform the committee about the status of this investigation, because it's being handled by the SIU. Next slide, please. Okay. The other issue that the court directed, Honorable Chair, was for the department, you know, to consider working with the community, of course, to consider whether this, an amendment is necessary for the constitution of the CPA, and also whether the legal entity must it be, to amend the constitution of the CPA, as well as those structures that I referred to. You know, so remember we said these structures, you know, they are very complex, they are very complicated, you know. So the court said there must be that consideration. So there was a meeting, I think it was a week or two, you know, where, you know, this issue was put on the table. There was a community meeting on the 29th and the 30th. So this matter was put, you know, to the beneficiaries. Now they are in the process, you know. What the meeting resolved on, you know, was to deal with the process to be followed when these issues are dealt with. Because to amend the constitution, you know, there must be a particular process that must be followed. And also to consider the way these structures, you know, they are constituted. So there will be a follow-up meeting, you know, on the 24th of June, where there will be broader community consultations, you know. And we anticipate that by the end of June, this whole process will be concluded. Next slide, please. Yes, payments of dividends, I think I have referred to this, you know. This is pending the following: adoption of the 2014 to 2021 membership list, which, you know, we said people have been given up until the 27th of July, you know, to raise any objections. So any dividends cannot be paid until, you know, the community is certain that from this list, these are the genuine beneficiaries, you know, not the conspirators where others will just want to apply for membership knowing that they are not the beneficiaries. The second issue is that also the dividends will only be paid when the independent directors for the investment companies appointment and the company is registered. Once that is done, you know, there will be a handover session, you know, between the previous trustees and the current community directors. And this is scheduled to take place on the 26th of this month. Also, the court, I think this should be the last one. The court said there must be, you know, general meetings, special general meetings, you know, those consultation meetings to make sure that the community is updated. We are pleased, you know, to report that the administrator, you know, has been convening those meetings with the community. And the last, you know, meeting was on the 30th and the 31st of last month. I've already indicated to that. So these meetings are taking place, honorable members. The last slide, I mean, the following slide, please. CPA elections, I've already, you know, spoken to this chair. I'm not going to waste your time. The elections took place. And then what the administrator, you know, needs to do also, as directed by the court, was to prepare documentation, you know, as required by the CPA Act. And we are pleased to report that, you know, training, you know, to members of the, what you call it, of the CPA was conducted on the 23rd of April as a way, you know, of dealing with this thing of submitting, you know, formal documentation as required by the CPA Act. So that process also, Chairperson, is ongoing and there is progress to that. Next slide, please. Chairperson, I'm about to conclude now. We wish the committee to note the following key issues. That number one, the dynamics of the entities. I think, Chair, the issue here is that you see, you know, in terms of the entities, the people are expected, directors are expected to be appointed or elected, but there is no staff to support them. Also, there is no financial benefits for these people. Like we said, these structures, you know, they are bloated and complex. That is why the court said there must be, you know, a consideration, you know, of amending this, you know, but it's for the community to decide. The second issue, you know, is that the project of this nature, Honorable Chair and members, it requires sufficient human resources. And this is also, you know, like provided for in the deed of settlement. So without the human resources, then this project, it may not, you know, achieve its intended objectives. The structures mentioned above, Chair, you know, they also need specialists, you know, official to support. At the moment, you know, there is no, there are no specialists. And we also say that, you know, this thing of reviewing, this thing must be really be expedited. But at the end of the day, it is the members themselves who have to decide. The next slide, please. I'm almost there, Honorable Chair. Yes, this one is just for noting as well, the disputes emanating from the elections of November. There was a general meeting which dealt with the dispute and the by-elections of January. So this meeting of the 1st of the December attended to those. The other issue is that, you know, the current executive committee, elected members, they have appointed their own attorney. I think it's good for us as a department. The issue here is for that attorney, you know, to assess these members to deal with other legal matters. Remember, the role of the administrator is not, although he's an attorney, is not to deal with this, but other issues that will come out, you know, this attorney will assist, you know, the CPA through the executive committee, you know, to deal with those. The reason why they have appointed their own attorney is for them, you know, for these elected representatives to give focus on what they have been elected to do, Chairperson. So I have already said there was a workshop, you know, in April to deal with the issues, you know, it's sort of an induction regarding the roles and responsibilities, you know, of the CPA members regarding to compliance and governance. The last slide, this should be the last one, Chair. We are saying that the judicial administrator is on course in terms of implementing the court order. I mean, the progress report, you know, Chairperson confirms that. There was a meeting, Chair. The meeting of the 30th and the 31st, it dealt with the issue of membership list. preparation, you know, for the preparatory meeting. The meeting also did with preparation for amendment of the constitution as well as those structures. Finally, Chairperson, we want the committee to note the report as presented to the select committee by the DG of the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
DG, do you want to maybe have the last word on this presentation before
we submit, Chair?
Thank you very much, DG and Sialebuka Ndade Mwegetsi, for this presentation which was quite very elaborate, but quite an eye-opener, as it were. I am now going to allow the members of this committee to interact with this presentation. And I will take hands to members who want to perhaps raise questions or comments. Amanda, can you assist me with all the, I see the Honorable Smith, I see the Honorable Arnold, I see those two hands at the moment. Do we have other hands which I might not be seeing from where I'm seated?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Modise. Honorable Mabato, I see you there. In that order, Honorable.
I'm here also, Chairman.
Honorable Nana. In that order, Honorable Smith, the platform is all yours.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Apologies for not putting on my video. My network is a bit of a problem, as experienced before as well. Chair, my first question would be related to, the selection of the beneficiaries. What is the criteria being used to determine who is actually the real beneficiaries and who not? As mentioned by the department, that there is a few kansvaters. But how is that determined? How do you actually determine who is the actual beneficiaries and who's not? Then the second question I have, Chair, is in terms of individual choices of community members. Who is beneficiaries of this or part of the CPA. Because, as far as I understand from other CPAs, one of the criteria that is put forward is you need to stay there. So if somebody moves out and go and look for a job in the city, because we know up in the Richtersveld, job opportunities and all of that is quite limited. How do these beneficiaries opt out of a CPA or how does that work? Do they lose their benefit? By going and looking for opportunities, or how is that handled? The third question I have is, in terms of being a beneficiary, what actual proof does such beneficiaries have that they are in fact a shareholder within the CPA and entitled to a certain share of such a structure? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Smith. The Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the Honorable Members and then also to the officials. Chairperson, we note the presentation on the status.
Are you also having challenges of the network, Honorable Arnold?
Can you hear me, Chairperson?
We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Oh, okay, sure, sure. You want to see me, Chairperson?
The nation wants to see you.
Okay, sure, Chairperson. Greetings.
Yeah.
Sure. No, Chairperson, we note the presentation on the status of the Richtersveld CPA. And I think when the department also had a presentation with us in terms of the CPA, it was mentioned, and we know there was dynamics and challenges, and that's why the CPA was put under administration. But now, it seems to me that we are going to sit with more challenges when it comes to the CPA, especially now when we have politicians and in terms of councillors now that is also been nominated to serve. I think this will also create instability, not instability, but or this is not even a good move in terms of progress for the CPA. So I just want to check now, why is there now councillors or politicians on the CPA? And will this not further hamper the work of the CPA? Then, Chairperson, the structures, the entities that were created to protect the interests of the community. But how can you move forward without the necessary human resources that will most now also put a strain or not progress in terms of the programs and everything that the entities is supposed to achieve? Then, Chairperson, previously we heard about the take charge NAMA United Richtersveld Company that is posing a threat to the stability of the Richtersveld Agricultural Company. But we don't, they must come up here and say what is the solution here in terms of this now, because we can't every time here there is a risk. But there is no solution in terms of this company that is posing a risk. Thanks, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Arnold. And we now give the opportunity to the Honorable Modise. Honorable Teboho Modise, the podium is all yours.
My video. Okay. Thank you very much. And let me greet the department and my colleagues. Chairperson, when I read the presentation of the department on slide number 7, they refer to the managerial changes as responsible to delay for the delays in handing over of municipality responsibility. Which side did these managerial changes came from? From COPTA or from Alexco? If you can explain to me, because I don't understand clearly, maybe as a lay person, they can assist me. And then my second question, it will be in, I think it will be an ideal when the handover is done for these people of the Richtersveld to work for the municipality. In order, in other words, has any skills development or maybe they being capacitated to work in that municipality after the handing over of this project? Can they be capacitated for that? If yes, Can we be clarified how many people or how many youth have been capacitated? If not, when they are going to be capacitated? Because we need a skill. We cannot allow people to go and work without a skill. Thank you very much, Chair. Those are my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Modise. I will now allow Honorable Mabato Olive to take the floor.
I am. Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies. My gadget is not named properly. My surname is Mukause. Chair, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you, Honorable Mukause.
Chair, there was a committee resolution. I'm not so sure why are we not guided in terms of this, because there was a committee resolution that there must be a physical interaction with the committee, with the Rechtsveld community. There was that resolution. Maybe staff can assist us in terms of tracking it down. And it was postponed to say, before we can even come and hear about other squabbles of Rechtsveld, the committee must visit the community, interact with the community, and try to understand what exactly is happening here. Secondly, Chair, by the look of
things... It's 11 hours.
Go ahead.
Am I being protected? Chair?
Go ahead, Honorable Mukause, you are protected.
Chair, by the look of things, there's too much political interference here. And some of these squabbles might be sponsored. We can't have too much politics in a project which was named or meant to benefit communities. Hence, I'm urging that we be guided in terms of that resolution, that the committee must go there and find out what are the real issues. This is not the first time, this is not the second time that a report from Rechtsveld, whenever it comes to this committee, it is not a progressive report. It is not a positive picture of the community of Rechtsveld. So we are not seeing any intervention from both the provincial government and national government. It might be a national government project, this one, but in terms of locality, it's in the Northern Cape. And they should have intervened as a province and tried to get things in order. This is not the first resettlement project happening in this province. Hence, I'm saying, why are we not seeing any intervention from the provincial government? Those are my contributions, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukause. I now allow the Honorable Nana to take the floor.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My apologies. As you can hear, I'm in the car. I'm trying to get home as quick as possible. So, and I wouldn't be able to switch on my video. Honorable Mukause, the reason why people are dragging feet on this one is because it has got diamonds in it. Having said that, colleagues, you will recall in one of the meetings, maybe let me preamble by saying I have been a member of parliament between 2009 and 2014, and I served in the National Assembly in public enterprises. It gives me a deep sense of shame, and I've said this to the department and Alex Kobe before, I think in 2019, that we should all be ashamed of ourselves. Honorable Makausa is correct. Very clearly there are politics at play here, but unfortunately, people's livelihoods, people's lives are being used as a political football. Honorable Chairman, in 2009, most of what Alex was presenting today, they were telling us the same story. There seems to be very little progress and political will to resolve issues of the community of Rachtersveld. It is such a shame. And I am not saying this to score political points, but I'm afraid all of us, history will judge us very harshly. It can't be that every time Alex Cox comes before the committee, we are basically back to square one, or there's very little progress. It can't be. It has been left to drag for far too long, Chairman Pent. I can't agree more with Honorable Makauza. There's a resolution of this committee that we need to go to that community and hear it for ourselves. Because as it stands, we always hear from the department and Alexco. And I want to second a proposal that the staff must guide us. The staff must tell us where is the process, how far is it. But having said that, Juanini, I joined the meeting a bit late. As you might have seen, that I tendered an apology that I'll be joining late because I was traveling. And I kept being kicked in and out. So I might have missed the gist of the presentation. But really, my interest is on the Zondo Commission report. My question to Alexco and the department: what has been found by Judge Zondo in so far as Alexco is concerned? How much or how prevalent was state capture? To what extent was state capture at Alexco? Are there recommendations from the Zondo Commission? If yes, what has been done with those recommendations, and what is the plan to prevent possible occurrences of a similar nature obtaining in the future? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Nana. Those are the questions and the comments which we have received from the members. Is that a legacy hand, Honorable Smith?
Yes, apology, Chair, I'm taking it down.
Thank you very much. DG and Ademweketse, those are the matters and the questions that the members are raising with yourselves. I do observe that some of the questions are quite very political questions. It is for this reason that in the majority of cases, we prefer that the political heads of the department are here, or at least the deputy ministers are mandated to join you here. I know that now you are in trouble, DG, that you may be expected to respond to some of the critical political questions which have been raised by members here. Before I hand over to you, let me just say a few things as well, as I had appreciated your presentation. But I think that Mwagetsi is raising quite a very profound observation here about the CPA itself. I hear him as saying that CPAs, by their nature, are conflict-ridden. That statement is quite critical. This instrument, the CTA, is being brought into question by your department, DG. And I would like to hear more as to why are you saying they are conflict ridden by their nature? And what are the steps which are being taken to try and transform the instrument so that it can be an instrument that has got stability, that has got an ability to deal with the task that it is expected to do? Because if we make such an observation, then it means then something very wrong was done or is being done in the work of these instruments. I also want to say, when I looked at that broader structure of the entire CPA complex, it looks like a very complex structure, very bloated, and as you look at it, you can see that it is a recipe for conflict. I'm not talking about the holding instrument. I'm talking about all the other entities that are subdivisions to the hold, the holding entity. It is a further recipe for a conflict for that community. And indeed, I think something needs to be done to ensure that this thing is stabilized and it is made to fit for purpose so that it can begin to yield the results that are expected for that particular community. Otherwise, we'll be meeting again here in the new financial year talking about the same thing. So the critical question is that, is there any capacity, is there a way of incapacitating that CPA together with other subdivisions to ensure that it is able to do the task that it is expected to do for the benefit of that community? I also wish to say that I think the morality as well as the legality of making councillors in particular to be part of this structure, I think it is something that must have been a strategic mistake. I don't think it will be helpful. I think it will further fuel the fires of the conflict that you have observed yourselves. So perhaps it is a matter that needs to be reviewed and be reconsidered so that councillors are not trapped into these entities and then their presence is seen as problematic. I think let's protect the councillors and allow them to do what they are expected to do, which is to be in the front line of service delivery in our communities. And then they can work with those structures, not necessarily by sitting on the boards or the committees that run those structures. And lastly, DG, having looked at that bloated structure, I want to understand that are those people who are sitting there as board members or trustees, are they remunerated? Or this is just a community service? I'm asking this because when these instruments are created, they are intended to benefit primarily community members. And I wonder now if there are fights that are ongoing, will the community ever realize what they expect to get from this? Or it is something that is created in order to benefit a particular class, be it a political class or a class of those that may be connected? That's what I will be putting forward. And then I want to ask DG, given the fact that this matter has been an ongoing for quite a number of years, what can we do to assist perhaps the department to ensure that, as some of the members are pointing to the fact that this structure is located in the Northern Cape, and perhaps the Northern Cape provincial government has to be brought into the center of assistance in this regard? Is there any role that perhaps we can assist? Because I think there is a dire need to make an intervention which is strategic, which could ensure that this vehicle goes forward and do what it is expected to do. That will be my summation, DJ, and I hand over to you as well as the other officials to perhaps give us comfort about the number of questions that are raised and the interventions that you are going to be taking to ensure that you turn around, because it does require a turnaround. And if there is no strategy to turn around it, then let there be a strategy to turn around it. Over to you, DJ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And Honorable Chair, I think you are correct in terms of the outlook, the political outlook that would be required from the principals. And I'll be able then to have an engagement with the principals and imprint the issues that have been guided so by the Chair and the committee. I have taken a few notes in terms of the engagements, and I would like to thank the honorable members for their questions, which we will go through. I think in terms of the responses, maybe let us start by requesting that we go through to the commission, who will take us to the genesis of the engagements in terms of the restitution case, and how we came up with the CPA, because Honorable Smith, in his initial question, he was talking to the selection of beneficiaries, which is really at the source of the engagements when we start off with the restitution case. We will then go into the deeper issues in terms of how the department deals with the CPA per se, and the processes, as has been asked by the honorable members, and Bademokisi, a team will respond to that. And then I'll take the policy issues that the honorable members have looked at, or any other question that medics may have had oversight on. So with your permission, Chair, I would request that we start with the Commissioner, Mayor Ndloko Gobodo, and then we can go to the Mayor team, and then I'll wrap up in terms of the policy areas that might have been skipped by the colleagues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Good morning to the Honourable Chair and honorable members. As indicated, my name is Nomfundo Ndloko. I'm the Chief Land Claims Commissioner. Just to give history just briefly, as we are aware that this is a Hoogtesveld is a claim before the cut-off date of 1998, and so it's a what we refer to as an old order claim, which was settled through a court process. And finally, the deed of settlement was, and the context is that because it affected Alex Kaur, it was led by DPE, and the community were assisted by the Legal Resource Center. And so all of the structures were then set up in that fashion so that all of those things that needed to happen were guided. In the context, therefore, of how we select or determine who the beneficiaries are, we look at who is the community that lodged the claim, and we conduct a research or investigation to determine the history of dispossession of that specific community. And then we do what we refer to as verification of those who were specifically dispossessed. And the verification is actually based on looking at what we refer to as the originally dispossessed individual. We then trace all of those who were dispossessed at that point in time. And if they are deceased, we look at this. Then that's how beneficiation of those who are the CPA happens. So it is based on the originality
dispossessed individuals. So,
Sis Nomfundo, we are really battling to hear you now. I think your network is quite unstable. I don't know if you are able maybe to shift. We did hear. I think we are struggling to hear you, Sis Nomfundo. But however, I think we got the genesis of where this situation emanates from. I don't know whether is there someone who is accompanying Sis Nomfundo who may step up maybe to conclude on what she was still saying.
Chair, maybe if we can just allow her to get a proper gadget or even space, and we continue with Mr. Moegidzi, and then just be after Mr. Moegidzi intervenes, then we'll check whether she's available just to conclude on that. I'll propose, Chair. Thank you very much.
Order, DJ. Thank you so much. Ndade Moegidzi?
Thank you very much.
We'll come back to you because we were struggling to hear you. But we'll take Mr. Moegidzi and then we'll come back to you. In the meantime, please look for a stable area where we can hear you properly in terms of network.
No, teacher.
Can I shoot Chairperson?
Please, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to pick up from what CLCC Mayor Nomfundo Ndloko said, for what is the role of the department. Once a claim has been settled by the CLCC, I mean Chief Land Claims Commissioner's processes, you know, after identifying beneficiaries and the likes, then the community has opted for a legal entity called a Communal Property Association. Then the DG comes into play. The role of the DG in terms of the Communal Property Associations Act is very clear. Is to support and monitor compliance of a CPA. You know, by support, Chair, it will refer to things like where maybe they need, you know, to be assisted in convening meetings. The department, you know, will, you know, provide that particular assistance. So the main business of the DG, you know, in terms of the Act, you know, is to make sure that ACPA is compliant with the legislation, which in this case is the Communal Property Association Act, and also its own constitution. I think I must give this chapter so that we understand our role. Chair, I think the issue of Honorable Smith has been addressed by CLCC. Let me attempt to deal with the issue of Honorable Arnolds. You see, Honorable Arnolds, our role is limited. If in the constitution of a CPA, like in this case, Richtersveld, it says the municipality must nominate two to be part of that. So if Richtersveld local municipal council, which is a local government, if in their own view, you know, they feel that nomination of politicians, you know, is correct, there is nothing that the department can do because they, the CPA, the beneficiaries, that is in line with the their constitution. But of course, from time to time, you know, whilst, you know, trying to monitor, provide support, we can only make suggestions, you know. Because honestly speaking, I agree with you, you know, the nomination of politicians there is, you know, already have started, you know. I need not go any further on that. There are concerns, you know, relating to those nominations of the two councillors. That it was a municipal council decision,
And as a department, you know, we did not have a say on that. Chair, what we are saying here is that all these other things, Chairperson, within the CCPA, the nominations and the likes, it is done in accordance with their own constitutions, which they adopted in a properly constituted meeting. So, yeah. The issue of lack of resources as well, Honorable Arnold, the current administrator, you know, is working with the committee, you know. And I hope at the end of the day, the administrator will make proposals, recommendations, you know, to the committee itself, which must be submitted to ordinary members of the CPA, you know, to consider. He's not there to direct, to say, look, for this structure, you know, you need to have this and that. The call is for the members themselves. As a department, our role, you know, is very clear on what we need to do. It's the interventions. The reason why DG went to court, you know, to say this CPA is non-compliant with its own constitution and the act. Please consider putting it under administration. Then the court at the end agreed with us. That is how far the DG can go in terms of dealing with these things. Honorable Teboho Modise, look, Chair, I think in addressing the issue of Honorable Modise, I will say I am aware of a process that was initiated by the Northern Cape Provincial Government through the DG in the Office of the Premier. We were requested to serve in that structure. That structure was dealing with the transfer, you know, of properties to the Richtersveld local municipality. I am aware that both Alexo and DPA, they were also part of that. Like we said previously, Chair, at some point, I think maybe you should consider engaging the provincial government through the DG, you know, of the DG in the Office of the Premier to talk to these issues. Because ours is to make sure that the CPA is regulated and it complies with the Act. So there are other stakeholders in this, Northern Cape Provincial Government, DPA, you know, Alexo and the likes. So those other ones, the provincial government is better placed to speak to those issues. Of course, some of this, you know, they have, you know, a direct impact on the functioning of the CPA, you know, in terms of what you call complying with the Act. I think, Chair, issues raised by Honorable Mokawuse and Nana, those are of political nature, and I will not attempt, you know, to deal with them. I'll leave them to DG, yeah, because they are of political nature. The last issue, Chair, that I wish, you know, to raise here, the issue of the structures there. Remember, there is a directive from the court that as a department, we must assist the community, you know, in, you know, reviewing some of the structures. I think the court said we must consider reviewing it. So the administrator working with the community, they are in the process, as we reported that, you know, there was a workshop which agreed, you know, a meeting where they agreed that this is the process that we are going to set in motion, and these are the issues that we are going to consider. Yeah, around issues of, I think DG will deal with some of this issue on whether the CPA is a correct vehicle and the likes. I think, Chair, this is what we can respond to on the issues raised by honorable members. Thanks very much, DG, Chairperson. Oh, sorry, Chairperson. So my apologies. There was a question regarding the remuneration of people who are serving on the board of directors. Our understanding is that, you know, once these structures are properly constituted, normally the board of directors will get a sitting allowance. But at the moment, they are not being remunerated because some of these structures are not yet fully, you know, they are not fully constituted, you know. But this is an issue that the administrator, you know, is working hand in glove with the community, you know, to consider. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Siyabonga ndatemwekethu. Asiphinde siyeke Sisinomfundo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you are audible now.
Thank you. Thank you, and apologies for that. I was saying that in the context of how we allocate or nominate who is a beneficiary, it is based on the originally dispossessed individuals who were moved at that point in time. And then a family tree is then identified and we're able to actually point out households that were affected and their next generation. So we're able to tell in if it's a community claim that 50 households were affected, and we're able to identify the 50 households based on the original dispossessed individual. And then once that has been done, which would have been done through a verification, which happens with the community themselves who assist in identifying who was dispossessed, and also us looking at historic documents that are available, we're able to then create a communal property association that then holds the land on behalf of those households. The communal property association then has a constitution that guides how the affairs of the households are run, because the households, if they are 50, they are the ones who are the owners of the CPA, and they are all shareholders in the CPA. The constitution then guides in terms of how committees are nominated, responsibilities, how to remove committee members if they err, including who votes, when and how, and the same community has a right to change any of those terms as long as they're able to comply with the processes that are guided by the Communal Property Association Act that will say you need to have a quorum, you need to have an annual general meeting, you need to ensure that you are compliant in order for you to do those things. So I would argue that if the CPA itself is structured similarly to how a company, a private company, would be obligated to do things if they needed to amend, change, confirm anything that is associated. So the CPA becomes the landholding entity. And the other entities that have been referred to here become entities that have been authorized by the CPA to do activities, various activities, on behalf of the beneficiaries of the CPA, who are the main holders of whatever rights that is there. So even if you are outside of Richtersveld and you work elsewhere, you are still entitled to benefit in the same way as person who actually is in Richtersveld. And just generally to say, Chairperson, that the issues that were raised around us focusing on trying to ensure that this project is sustainable, for me, becomes key in that the issues that are being dealt with by the Department of Agriculture around dealing with the CPA really are speaking to just portion of the issues that need to be addressed. Acknowledge that, as we've indicated, this claim was settled in 2007. And the settlement was led by DPE on the basis that Alexco was a main party that would be impacted. And this was a cabinet decision. So the reason it went back to court was because it was a cabinet decision that was confirmed by court. And so the settlement agreement, if it was going to be reversed, needed to go back to court. As you are aware, Honorable Chair, previous committee meetings had given an instruction that the claim in the nature in which it was settled with these companies that end up with about 50 directors is a structure that is too complex for the type of community that we're dealing with. And so the key issue that needs to be dealt with is a review of the structures so that the CPA or the benefits that are due to this community are set up in such a way that it's a simple process that can be managed by the community themselves and that they can then derive meaningful benefit. And so I agree that the crux of the matter is not about sub-items that we need to do, but about ensuring that the CPA is set up in a simple way so that community members or the households that have a right are able to benefit. Secondly, that all of the things that were identified in the deed of settlement that needed to have been done, including paying of those households what is due to them. Thirdly, if there is any investigation that needs to be done around any maladministration that is associated with the settlement from 2007 going forward, around all of these companies that have been set up, that that gets done, so that at the end of the day, the community who are the beneficiaries and owners of the settlement benefit and in the manner that they should have benefited from 2007. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Asibonge, Masibonge Sesinomfundo. DG, do you want to make a summation?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I think the colleagues had done a pretty job in terms of responding to the issues. I thought there were a few policy issues, and let me start off where Marco Bodo had ended around the whole landholding entity that is the CPA in this case, where the department is currently busy with the work of regularizing the CPA. I think from the engagements that Mr. Moekitsi was relating to was to ensure that the administrator now is able to also assist the community to shape the structure that they have within. I think without any doubt, if one looks at the nomenclature that they have opted for, taking into consideration that this was a discussion and a process that was led by government through the DPE to come up with a structure. If one has got to look at those from a governance point of view, it would mean that each and every one of those would also be a cost center, specifically for people who will be either trustees or in other cases board members and would have to be paid. So there is a need for us to agree with the CPA for them to opt for a simpler version of how do they need to deal with the issues of the business side of issues. The department would assist in terms of that process, but as we all know, in terms of the CPA Act, our focus would be on the CPA itself, and we will be, under the guidance of the DPE, also be able to assist this process of rationalizing the business operations that they are having and ensuring that they have got a structure that would be able to deliver a maximum benefit for the community members. There was a question around the involvement of politicians. I would not dabble into politics, but what I would like to indicate is that where there is a governance issue raised, the separation of duties would always be, from a governance point of view, a point that we referred to, so that there is no inference that there might be influence coming from elsewhere into the CPA. However, if the CPA members themselves would agree to a certain issue, the issue around the democratic processes that they have would also be in the forefront. But from where I'm sitting, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my take would be just to ensure that there is clean governance and separation of duties and responsibilities. That process would need to be looked at by the administrator, and it will be highlighted with them as something that was raised by this committee. There is an issue that was raised earlier on, and I think my colleague, Mbate Kotsomoekitsi, has decided to dodge the bullet. But it touched on the Zondo Commission and the findings of the Zondo Commission around Rafelsveld and how this would impact on the work that is there. I think if you look at the fourth deposition of the Zondo Commission, there's a reference to Alexco. There is reference to malpractice, and there is also an indication from Zondo that the commission that there needs to be a follow-up on the issues of Alexco, and that we will leave to the courts. But in terms of the department, we are aware of the issue that was raised, and I think that DPE is also aware of this issue where a company with a known name was appointed, and this company was purportedly undervaluing the diamonds and then overvaluing when selling. And that issue is currently something that the law enforcement agencies would be responsible for looking at. I think in broad terms, and it has been said that maybe at a broader level, the discussions that we are having around the CPAs is an issue that I can indicate that they have been very topical. And this question that the chair rightfully asks to say, is this the right landholding entity? And I think that in my notes also, Honorable Mashaula had also asked the very same question, that the issue also reached the minister. And minister is currently engaging with various CPAs to look at this model and engage in terms of the models that are available for us to have a landholding entity. The minister, together with the Deputy Minister Squacha, and the commissioner who just spoke now, have already gone to Northwest. They have been to Mpumalanga. They have been to the Free State in a line of engagements to see whether they can be engagements on the matter, and all provinces are going to be visited. Over and above that, this issue was also raised, Honorable Chair, at an event that Honorable Chair also raised on communal land administration and tenure summit that was held by the interministerial committee led by a deputy president, where this issue around CPAs was clearly ventilated. And I think even within Northern Cape, there is a call coming through to say, how do we look at this issue, especially at Rakersfeld, the CPA itself, and how do we deal with it? And it's quite easy because the Act provides for, I think it's 2.5, where we are provided to say where there is another entity that exists that can provide similar work, there can be consideration of that. So this issue around CPAs, without any doubt, is a topical issue. It's something that the department is giving attention to. And at the end of that process of engaging on CPAs, we will be able to then table a report that reflects on the overview of CPAs. But from the three that we have already had, there is emerging trends that we can already indicate that there are CPAs that function well in the minority, and the majority would have differences that needs to be looked at. I would end off, Chair, by indicating that at a broad scale, this department is responsible for the CPA, and personally, in terms of being charged to ensure that there's proper administration, we are ensuring that through the administrator, we are regularizing this. And as we exit next year, we would be able to have a proper functioning CPA with the structures that would support it to ensure that there's maximum benefit to the community of Rakersfeld. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Thank you for the answers, and thank you for the elaboration as well on some of the comments that were made. And we do understand the limitations insofar as the political questions are concerned. Members, I know that the responses may not be exhaustive, but I think we have made the point about some suggestions that needs to be taken into account by the department. When we began this meeting, I did indicate that there could be a possibility of an intervention from the Department of Public Enterprises I would want, because I would like us in NS to conclude by 12, if we can, and if members allow, but I would like to give an opportunity to the official that is designated by the Department of Public Enterprises to just take us through in the next 10 minutes their take on this matter. I believe that they have prepared just a small intervention in this respect, and I want to give them an opportunity, therefore, to state what they would like to share with us around the same matter that we are discussing today. You will introduce yourself as well as the possible the board member that is accompanying you here. You are welcome.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Trish Hanukom. I'm the chair of the interim board of Alex Gore. And Ms. Morongwa Mutengu is here from the department. And I see that the minister's advisor seems to be online as well, Marie Michelle. The interim CEO of Alex Gore, Mr. Trevor Fowler, and one of my colleagues on the board, Mr. Alan Roberts, is also here. We had been asked to do a presentation on the town handover. And given that you're saying that there's only a very short time, you may well want us to come back to the committee. But I wanted to make a few comments, and we have had planned to do two things. One was to give you a snapshot of the state of implementation of the deed of settlement from the point of view of the Department of Public Enterprises, which I'm sure we will still have time for from Ms. Mutengu. And secondly, to give you the exact status from Alex Gore on the town handover. But I thought I would like to just make a few comments of context given the discussion so far. The first is that the interim board was appointed 4 months ago, and it took over after a rather precipitous resignation of the former CEO, who also served as the accounting officer at the accounting authority in terms of Section 49(2)(b) of the PFMA. So we really have not been there for long, but have our first order of business was to appoint an interim CEO. So Mr. Fowler has been appointed on a contract for 6 months, renewable for 6 months, in order to try and regularize both governance arrangements as well as issues of compliance with both the letter and spirit of the deed of settlement and the unanimous resolution that gives rise to the pooling and sharing joint venture that Alex Gore and the Richtersveld Mining Company have an interest in, and he will speak to that in a second. But I think that issue that was raised in the prior discussion was about the flow of benefits to the Richtersveld community. And the intention of the mining operation was obviously to ensure that benefits flow as a result of the land claim settlement. But in reality, the mining that has been taking place over years has been done by contractors. And in fact, notwithstanding what the financial statements might say, the cost of mining exceeds the income of mining. And it's that that we need to turn around if there are going to be benefits flowing to the community. So in the 4 months that the board has been there, there certainly are irregularities that we are aware of, and non-compliance with the provisions of the deed of settlement and unanimous resolution. And We are working systematically to resolve those. And there was a comment from one of the honorable members and from the DG with regard to the SIU report. There is an investigation underway at present at, from the SIU, and that will obviously deal with much of the content of what is in the fourth report of the State Capture Commission. I think I also just wanted to confirm that we are very concerned about the complexity of the institutional arrangements. It's not just a financial issue. It's also the time implications, the financial implications of time, because the complexities of these arrangements are immense. There clearly are expectations around participation as non-executive directors in these various companies. And in reality, what we found is that the court-appointed directors for the Richter Salt Mining Company have been remunerated, and that itself has not been in compliance with the unanimous resolution that sets up the pooling and sharing joint venture of Alex Gore and the Richter Salt Mining Company. So these are all issues that we are going to have to resolve. It really does not make very much sense that we've got a parallel structure of a PSJV board and an Alex Gore board that really contributes in completely unsustainable ways to the financial implications of the mining activities. I also just wanted to say that the court case that was referred to, the sitting on the 3rd of June, there was an intervention application that needs to be heard prior to that matter, which is an intervention from the representative of some of the community members, and that case has been postponed to the 5th of August. This also adds to the complexities of how we ensure that actually the economic activity in the area, mining and hopefully other economic activity under the ambit of the other structures of the CPA, really do generate benefits for the community, which was the intention of the settlement, and as far as we can tell, has not really materialized. If you allow, Honorable Chair, Ms. Motengu has got a one slide just to give you a snapshot overview of the progress on the implementation of the deed of settlement. And then Mr. Fowler has got a very brief presentation of the progress with the town handover. So I'll hand over to Ms. Motengu.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Murungwa Motengu. I'm the head of the unit at the Department of Public Enterprises, overseeing the affairs of Alex Gore. I know that the brief was only on the progress in terms of implementation of or the infrastructure upgrades, but I think it will be beneficial for members maybe to just give an overview, as highlighted by my colleagues from rural development, that the department was the lead in terms of this land restitution plan. So in terms of the obligations, there were 8 obligations. I'll just be very quick. And all of them, except I can say 2 of them, which one is the infrastructure and the handover of the town, and also the transfer of properties, are outstanding. So the community has received the mineral rights. They have, those have been transferred. and some of the financials in terms of 190 million was advanced to the Richtersveld Investment Trust. So from 1 to 8, these are the various assets in terms of financial and land assets that have been transferred to the Richtersveld community, and also different structures that were established to look after the interest of the Richtersveld community. So in terms of the implementation, it's quite complex, as my colleagues have alluded to earlier. It's not only DPE and rural development that are involved in this process, but we also it also extends to other department organizations, such as the National Treasury, and also the provincial government is also key, in particular in terms of the establishment of the township of Alexander Bay. My colleagues from Alexco will take us or will give a briefing on the challenges and the difficulties that Alexco had and is encountering with regards to this specific provision. So overall, we can say that the implementation is almost complete except for those two provisions. And on the 45 million payment, if I can just summarize that, the payment goes hand in hand with the transfer of about 500 residential properties to the Richtersveld Property Holding Company. And the reason for the delay was that the property holding company did not have or was not regular. It only had one director, and the requirement was for the company to have four directors in order for it to be correct. Or six. So for a number of years, the department has attempted to try and transfer, but we were a bit cautious given that some of the monies have disappeared. For example, the agricultural company, 50 million, disappeared a while back. So the department is a bit cautious, so it was awaiting the process where the Richtersveld property holding is properly regular or it's regularized and it has the required members in order to ensure that the interest of the community is taken care of. And also, I would like to also highlight.
Marongo, can you leave a few minutes for Trevor, please? We're nearly done with the time.
Okay. So, maybe just to highlight some of the questions from the honourable members in terms of the investigation or of some of the corruption that were highlighted in the report. The SIU has been authorized to investigate the maladministration and corruption at Alexco, but it also extends to investigate the corruption in the CPA structures. So the investigation has commenced, and we hopefully in the next few months we'll have a report on the investigation itself. But I hope we will have some progress in the next few months. Without wasting any more time, Honourable Chair, I will give to my colleague, Mr. Trevor Fowler, to brief the committee on the infrastructure upgrade. Thank you.
Mr. Fowler, do you need me to help you with the presentation?
No, it's fine. Thank you, Chair.
Are you able to project?
Yes. Good afternoon, good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable members of the committee. Let me, I'll be very brief. It's a fairly long presentation, but I'll take about 5 minutes. The background has been put forward already that the properties and the land and the mineral rights were in a court order given to the to the CPA, and the mineral rights have already been transferred, and there's also transfer of the services to the municipality, Richtersveld municipality. That process I will go through very quickly. If you can just move on to the next slide, we could move on. This particular slide covers what was the formal township of Alexander Bay Village, which was to be handed over, and it's also handed over to the municipality to provide the services. Currently, Alex Corp provides all of the services to Alexander Bay, the roads, the water, the distribution of the electricity, which we receive from ESCOM. We can move on. The services, the engineering services here needed to be upgraded to a level that is acceptable to the municipality. And we've essentially undertaken most of those engineering services. If you can move on. The services which we've upgraded, and I'll just go through them. If you could just move on to the next slide. It says, to date, Alex Corp has spent about 66 million in the town handover obligations and upgrades. So since 2005, there's been a refurbishment of the boreholes that are here to provide water, and water is provided to Alexander Bay and to the town of Port Nolloth, which is about 80 kilometers from here. There's been a raw water reservoir put in place. We've refurbished the bulk meters. We upgraded the pump station that's required, installed booster pumps, and we do continuous pump tests. And a new telemetry system to test and monitor the pumps and the reservoirs. And we've also installed the new wastewater treatment works, which was really a rehabilitation of the ponds. Upgrades that have also been done, the electrical meters and water meters have been installed, about 80% complete. We'll be doing the next batch in the next 2 months or so, which will bring it to almost to 100%. And we'll also install two modems which separate the mine and the town at the main substations, which has happened. We have the modem, it's just a matter of installation. I've already indicated that we provide all the services. Currently, at the municipal level, they've employed a Mr. Christopher Nichols, who's from the University of Stellenbosch, and he's an engineering consultant. He's assisting them to meet the requirements and so that the transfer of the distribution services can continue and be completed. The main focus at the moment is really the handover transfer of the electrical distribution services, which really involves ESCOM, Alex Corp bulk purchase contract, and the NERSA Alex Corp distribution license to the Richtersveld municipality. NERSA, we have still to undertake. The municipality is to meet with NERSA and really arrange for their amendment of their distribution license. From our side, it's really signing over the the license to them that we have, that Alex Corp has, and I mentioned the installation of the modems. The next main focus is conversion of all the consumers to prepaid in Alexander Bay. It's a request of the municipality, which I said we are about to complete. We're 80%, but we're doing more in the next 2 months. And we then have to transfer all of the Alexander Bay consumers to the prepayment system. Upon completion, the basic services that are provided by the municipality will be, of course, electricity, water and sanitation, refuse removal, roads, parks and recreation. We of course understand that the municipality has some constraints. It's concerned about the cost of running the services here, and we will assist them in the best way possible, and we'll work collectively to solve that problem. There's a requirement which is being implemented, a stakeholder engagement, which is Alex Corp, DPE, Department of Agriculture and Rural Development and Municipality, which is being implemented. In fact, just yesterday, the Deputy Minister was here and he met both the Mayor and the Municipal Manager of the Rottersfeld community. So we're both implementing and developing the action plan as is required to ensure effective implementation. Okay, thank you very much. I've just gone through the slides very, very quickly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That completes our input, and I assume that in the event that you have issues you wish to follow up, that you may want us to avail ourselves again for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much to the team from Public Enterprises, particularly Alexo. I think that firstly, I would say that it would be great if you can share that presentation or those presentations with us, or give us a consolidated presentation once and for all, so that the members can also interact with those beyond this meeting. But I think I would want to take this opportunity again to check with the members if they would like to raise some questions with this presentation. Of course, we appreciate it because it gives us some global picture in terms of what is actually obtaining with Alexco as well as the community that you are linked to insofar as the CPA is concerned. Members, there is a presentation, and I must say that it is an executive summary, as you could see, but I think you have every right to want to ask questions if you have questions of clarity, and make comments as well, unless you feel that you have been duly covered by the earlier interaction with the sister department. Any takers?
Chairman.
Yes, Honorable Nana.
Can I suggest that we pause for now? The department sends us the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
We individually go through the presentation. I mean the lady who represents the department.
Okay.
Rightly suggested that, in fact, rightly indicated that they can be available for further interaction. So
yeah. Okay.
So, thanks, Chair.
No, thank you, Honorable Nana. Yes, actually, that was the view that I had, but I didn't want to dictate. Is that the feeling that we have, members? I assume that your silence means consent.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Wonderful. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development for having come through to present this to us. And I think we have said what we wanted to say to them, and we have given them a homework. We have also given them a takeaway in terms of what we expect when they come to this committee. So we thank you, DG, and your team for having come here, and we really appreciate. I also wish to equally thank the delegation that comes from DPE, particularly Alex Ko. Thank you, Chairperson, as well as the CEO and all the officials that had attended this particular session. We would like to release you so that you can go back to your desk to continue doing the service to the nation. Our committee work is still continuing, and therefore I would request that you gracefully leave us. We're not chasing you away, but we have to get into committee wherein we have to talk about matters that relate to parliamentary work, which are exclusively for the attention of the members. We thank you so much. Trish, did you want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to indicate that the two presentations are in the chat if your colleagues and you would wish to download them, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for the time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a lovely afternoon. Thank you so much. All the officials from the two departments are now released. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable members, without any waste of time, we have the second item, which is the last item in our agenda, which is an item to look into the minutes of our previous meeting. The minutes have been shared with us in advance, and I want to understand that the members must have gone through those minutes, and therefore it will be quite a quick exercise to consider them for adoption. I see the hand of the Honorable Smith, but before you get there, Honorable Smith, allow me to confirm before we get into this item whether we constitute the quorum or not. My understanding is that we are 13 members of this committee. This is the brief that I was given when I joined. And therefore, I just want to check from the number of attendees, particularly the honorable members, how many members are there in order to check if we do constitute a quorum. Can you take us through that, the Secretariat?
Yes, Chair, we do form a quorum.
Yeah, just to confirm, how many members are present in this meeting? Thank you for making that indication.
There were 9 members, but Ms. Bibi has since excused herself, so there's now 8 members.
Okay, thank you so much. So we still form a quorum anyway. Or we form a quorum because she was here.
We still form a quorum.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Great stuff. Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Again, sorry for not putting my video on. As you know, my network is a serious problem. Chair, I just want us to have clarity because they, as you all would have seen on the chat group, that there is a bone of congestion in terms of the how the voting process happens around that, because we have had this problem before around when do we vote according to provinces and when do we vote as individual members of the committee. So as you handled it, you know, in terms of the 13 members, so it means 50% plus one member must be present. And that is, in fact, 7 members that would then constitute a quorum in this case, so that there isn't any confusion going forward. When we're voting on things like the minutes of a meeting, we look at the members within the committee and not provinces, as Honorable Madise indicated. Thank you, Chair.
No. Honorable Smith, don't be mischievous. That matter of that communication was happening in the WhatsApp chat
room. I just want us to have clarity, Chair.
No, Chair. Honorable Smith, I hear you. I think we will have clarity when clarity is required. We don't have that item on our agenda. Everything is clear now. We've got quorum, and we constitute quorum, and we are good to take decisions in this meeting.
Chair? Chair, point of order on that.
Let me complete what I'm saying. The issue that you are raising, if it needs to be addressed, it will be addressed at a right time in a right forum, because we had an agenda here that was adopted, Honorable Smith. I don't want agenda items that come when agenda has been adopted. So okay. I respect what you are saying, and I take consideration of it, but I want to say again, there was an informal interaction in a WhatsApp group, so it must not be straight jacketed into an item of the agenda. What is important now is that we do form a quorum. Please don't make it difficult for me.
Chairperson?
I have noted what you are saying.
Chairperson, I've got a question then for you in terms of you declared that there's a quorum. So based on which one of the two points are you declaring that there's a quorum? Based on provinces or based on the individual members? Because that is a principal question that we need to answer when we talk about the quorum. So it's not the additional item on the agenda.
Honorable Smith, we're talking about the membership of this committee. It has got
13. Thank you. So it's in terms of membership. Thank you, Chair.
We have got 8 that are present.
And that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you, Chair.
No, Honorable Smith, don't be mischievous. We don't fall from the sky. We come from provinces, but we're members of this committee. Okay, members, the item is the item of the minutes. Can you please, just in case that there could be a correction that needs to be made on the draft minutes before they are adopted, if possible, can you screen those minutes? I know the members have them in their gadgets. Honorable members, you looked into the minutes from page 1 to the last.
Honorable Chairperson, can I propose something?
Yes, Honorable Marisa.
Yes, because we have received the minutes on time and we read them. There's no need for you to put on the slide to go page by page, because we read them.
Okay. No, I'm just saying that they must put them just in case there could be a member who would want to make a correction so that we get there. Otherwise, I take your suggestion that members have read the minutes. Is there any member that has got any item that or any issue that he or she would like to correct in the minutes? I think all members are fine with the minutes as they were shared in advance. We now request a mover for the adoption of the minutes.
I move, Chair.
The Honorable Modise moves for the adoption of the minutes. Is there a seconder? Honorable members, we need a seconder for the adoption of the minutes. Yes, Honorable Nana?
I hope you can see the problem that you could be faced with if the opposition decides not to partake, particularly in the adoption of minutes. You know,
we must tread very carefully. You said two constructing statements. Initially, you said it is by membership to the committee. But after that, you make a cynical addition that we don't fall from the sky, we're from provinces. Everybody knows that we're from provinces. We're not mana. It's unacceptable, man. If we can keep quiet now, these minutes will not be adopted. We must be treated as adults. Otherwise, we'll be hostile towards you and your ANC. There'll be no progress in this committee. I just want to make that caution, Chairman.
Honorable Nana, there was no malice. I answered, I dealt with that question properly. And I think you might have read it differently, but that was never the intention. So
I hope I read it differently, Chairman, because you made two conflicting statements. And I'm saying to you, the first one, you said it's by membership to the committee. And Honorable Smith accepted that. But you, after that, make a cynical comment that
no,
we don't fall from the sky.
Honorable Nana, I don't want us to enter into a dialogue, but that statement was never intended to be cynical at all.
Yes, but this is how it came across.
No, I think you are raising historical issues here in terms of your temperature. No, Honorable Nana, the membership is clear here. We are 13 members of this committee. I repeat what I said. And therefore, the quorum is checked in terms of the attendance of the members of the committee. I still want to ask if we have a seconder to the adoption of the minutes. If there is no seconder, then it would mean then that we just note these minutes and defer them to the next meeting.
Honorable Chair, I'll second.
The Honorable Matt Debrain has seconded the minutes. Is there a contrary view? Silence means consent. The minutes of this meeting. Come again?
Chairperson, it's Honorable Smith.
Yes, Honorable Smith.
I am concerned, Honorable Chair, if we look at the number that we set, we are 8 members, okay? It's the Honorable Madise, it's the Honorable yourself, and then there's a maximum of how many, 5 opposition members on the platform. So I just want to confirm, are we still 8 members or is one of the ANC members missing?
The secretariat did assure me that we have 8, only the 9th member.
At that moment, but I'm asking now at this moment that we're adopting, because we had discussions until then. So at all time until the business is finished, we need to make sure that there's a quorum. Clearly no ANC member to second, so it means that there's 1 member short.
We can check that, because there's also the issues of network instability for some members. So a member might have maybe been kicked out by the system. But I think that's neither here nor there, because we have a seconder. And at a time when we started this item, everybody was here on board. I don't want us to be too technical about that.
Chair, must be technical about it. This is a legal process.
I'm checking with the secretariat to check exactly what you are referring to. Is there anyone who might have been kicked by the system, members of the secretariat?
Yes, Chair. Honorable Mama Robela just indicated that she has been kicked by the system, out of the meeting by the system.
She's trying to reconnect. Okay.
She's trying to reconnect.
That's the issue then I was talking about, of the instability. The environment in which we are operating also has got these challenges, that some members are located in locations wherein the network or signal is unstable for one reason or the other. I don't think we do have a contrary view. So I think the minutes are now duly adopted.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Smith.
Honourable Chair, I want to state two points. Firstly is we can't accept that the minutes is duly accepted because we are not a quorum, okay, in essence. So that's the first issue. The second issue, Chair, this situation with the networks actually reinforces the drive for us as committee members to start to sit in person within committee. Because this is the type of situation we're going to constantly have. This was a temporary arrangement while we were in deep in the COVID pandemic with all the regulations. The portfolio committees are actually returning to in-person meetings, and I think it is proper for us as well to start to arrange for in-person meetings as this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Your suggestion is duly noted, and I think the members will grasp it with and consider it going forward. I don't think you are raising an opposing view, but you are just stating a challenge with regards to the manner in which we are operating right now, given the post-COVID situation. Honourable members, there it is. The minutes are duly adopted now. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you for attending and for engaging with the presentations that were made to us by the two departments. And of course, we are operating under very different environment, which has got its own challenges. And I sincerely note the suggestions which are made by the members here. And I also wish to say that members must not take a view that when we express ourselves that necessarily we are being negative, but we speak, openly and frankly and do not prejudge each other. And I am certainly a chairperson of the committee, and I respect all the members equally in the committee, and I am again wanting to appeal to the members that let's work together and ensure that we serve and service our people as expected. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, members. I know that some members will be going to plenaries, and therefore I don't want to waste your time. I wish to release everybody. The meeting stands adjourned.